Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, God. You're at work in our lives. We don't see it. We don't see all of it, God. We do feel the pain, God. We especially the pain of our distance with you. And so, God, would you, as we worship you, God, as you feed us by your word, pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit would move now, God, into the hearts of the people. Would you pour your love? Would you glorify your name? Would you pour out your glory into this place? And would you convince us that you are for us, that you have not forsaken us, but that you are at work in our lives to sanctify us, to make us like your Son, Jesus Christ. So God, take your word. By the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray for your manifestation, God, of glory into our very hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're doing our sermon series on worship, what it is to be in the holy presence of God. And today I shared with you a picture last week, and I just want to just stay there. I just feel like that was a word or a picture that God gave me to consolidate everything that we've been studying, and so that we could, you know, both by the Spirit in words, but also in picture, see what we're talking about. I want us to see it with our minds. So as we continue talking about reflecting the glory of God, we're going to talk about sanctification today. Sanctification. We mentioned last week that sanctification is to make holy. So I want to give you a definition. Sanctification is, it's a simple one. We can expound on this. It literally is to make holy. So how you look up in the dictionary, there's like the first definition and the second definition. I would lead with this. It's the ever-increasing capacity. It's like God is ever-increasing us, because holiness, as we're going to see, is uncommonness. So it's the ever-increasing capacity to reflect God's glory. It's, in a sense, becoming a bigger magnifier. I don't have a picture yet. Okay? I hear that from you, so I want to give you a picture. That's the picture. Is it busy? Yes. Do you need to know this? Absolutely. So we're going to break it down for the next couple of weeks. We want to break this down for you so you would have a picture in your mind. Now, there's a veil, and we can say the difference between heaven and earth. The holiness of God resides. It is talking about the uncommonness of God, the set apart uncommonness, the worthiness of God. It's God's bigness. When I say big, I mean every quality, every name of God is unlike our imagination. The reason why sometimes we have a difficult time to pray and come to God is because we think God's like me. Oh, he's mad at me. Oh, he's like angry at me. You know, he must be pissed off. And so we kind of like, slowly work our way, to God. God's not like that. See, we project ourselves onto God. God is so big. His mercy so great, his faithfulness without bound, his love unimaginably big. But so is his justice and his righteousness. It's just big. That's what holiness means. And that what makes him special, priceless, worthy. That's when we come in here, we are desperate to magnify the worthiness, the bigness. That's why it's called worship. We are magnifying so that we could come under the glory of God. And that's the second point. So God's holiness is radiating, and that radiating of God's holiness is called the glory. It is the manifestation of God's bigness. That one arrow that's going down sideways is general revelation. So the glory of God generally to all people. So you look at the mountains, you look at the earthquakes, the tsunamis, you look at it and you go, that's big. And you get a sense of awe at God's power. But here's the thing. You get a sense of God's beauty, don't you? You're like, oh, he's so beautiful. What author could have created this? What artist could have painted this picture? And you go, God is big. That's general revelation. Special revelation is this other glory. So there's general revelation glory and there's special revelation glory. The word of God is special revelation, but we'll see that. So we're going to just break it down. So we're going to talk about holiness. Okay, you can see that there's a big empty red star around holiness. Okay, so let's just talk a little bit more. I want to do an overview. So you have a biblical basis for the picture that I'm giving you. Because I realized when I was talking to, you know, Ellen, and it's like, as much as I've talked about this, I realized, like, people don't have a picture of God and glory and sanctification, which means to make holy. So it all makes sense, right? And so we talk about glorifying God, but we say things and we don't even understand what it means. Well, chief in the man is to glorify God. What does that mean? We think we glorify God by what? What do we mean by that? Well, we want to be accurate, right? We want to be accurate. The glory. I was like, what's glory? All right, so let's break it down. Leviticus 10:10, it says, you are to distinguish between the holy and the common. That's where I get the word uncommon. God is uncommon. He's not like us. That's what makes him special, right? What makes a diamond special? What's it makes it worthy? Because it's rare. It's uncommon. That's one of the big, believe it or not though, diamonds actually are not as uncommon as you might think, right? It's like the whole blood diamond thing. They don't want you to know, De Beers don't want you to know how common diamonds are. They corner the market and all this, and they try, you know, and because they corner the market, they, you know, charge exuberant prices. Even lab diamonds. People are taking a lump of coal and turning it into a diamond and charging, you know, ridiculous prices. It's like a facade of being uncommon. You know what I'm saying? It's like a fake uncommon. But the point is, rare things are priceless. But God is priceless. He's worthy. He's not common. So holy and the common. The literal definition of profanity is making something holy common. If you talk about God like he's common, if you think about God like he's like you, if you go to God like you think he's like you, that's common. That's profanity. Profane is to defile. Defile is taking something really special. It's like, that's why it says clean and unclean. It's like, you know, like white carpet and you got muddy shoes. You just, you know, and you come in here and it's just like, you know, walk on it. Here's the third thing. So, and you are to teach the people of Israel all the statutes that the Lord has spoken to them by Moses. This is God trying to keep them, right? We're to teach this about God. Ezekiel 22, her priests have done violence. Violence. God equates violent. This is how God feels. To my law and have what? Profaned my holy things. They're using like, here's a holy candle. And they're like using it like it's like, you know, like a regular candle. Here's the holy bread. And it's like, oh, you know, it's like, that's profanity. You are holy. So we're going to talk about this. They have made no distinction between the holy and the common. Wow. No distinction. You know, date a Christian, you know, date a non-Christian, you know, like, you know, this or that, you know, how I spend, you know, my time as a Christian, how I spent my time as a non-Christian. There's nothing uncommon about the way you spend your time. There's nothing uncommon about the way you spend your money. Like, we make no distinction. And to be honest, I mean, how much do we spend in the service of the kingdom? And it's a rebuke for all of us, isn't it? What God was sharing me during my sabbatical is, Henry, you're losing the distinction here between the holy and the common. And we're blurring the lines, you know. It's like, oh yeah, you know, serving the web, and I'm gonna go over here. Oh, you know, naked people is okay. You know, it's like you're like random. All right, let's talk about holiness here. Above him stood the seraphim. This is the vision. The one thing about, if you say, okay, what distinguished, okay, and this is all theologians pretty much. What distinguished the true prophet from a false prophet? A true prophet in the Bible have all been summoned before the presence of God, before the throne of God. So they all heard audibly the voice of God. Moses into the presence of God. Now, when I say presence, and the reason why we call it the presence, it's because presence is local space. Local space, local time, okay? It's very local. It's localized. In this church, I would say there's more presence in the front than in the back. It's just the way it is. Just like in a classroom, more smart people in the front, right? And less studious students in the back. Just the fact. I was just listening to a YouTube a few years ago. This girl's strategy, she had a 4.0. So my strategy was always to sit up front to meet the students that sat up front because I was not that smart, but I wanted to be around smart people. And she made an effort to study with them, form study groups. That's why she got a 4.0, she said. You want to be the back of the crowd or you want to be the front of the crowd? And I'm going to say more about that as I talk about my sister a little bit. Each had six wings. With two, he covered his face. This is a seraphim. And with two, he flew. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy. Nowhere in the Bible does it say love, love, love. Powerful, powerful, powerful. The only time a quality of God is repeated more than one time like this is holiness. It says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his holiness. No, it doesn't say that. It says the whole earth is full of his glory. That's where I get. Glory is the manifestation. It's the radiance of God's holiness. It's the sun. If you go back to the picture, right? It's the sun. And glory is like the light. It colors everything, doesn't it? Glory is, you look at it and you go, he's big, he's beautiful, he's loving, he's merciful. That's glory. But it isn't when it's God's glory, though. It's like, he's incredibly powerful. Oh my gosh, he's beautiful. Oh, he's so loving. That's glory. The holiness is the sun, and the glory is like the light. Hence, we're going to talk about glory. The manifestation. Can we turn off the light a little bit? I just want people to get a sense. Okay, it's not that big of a difference. Turn it back on. All right. We'll send this out on an email. All right. Isaiah 6:2, it says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory, right? That's where we get the manifestation. So let's talk about why glory, though, in this particular. So there's the, I talked about general revelation glory. That means glory for everybody. Okay? God does not distinguish between Christians and non-Christians. He reigns on the believers and non-believers. God shines on believers and non-believers. God gives mountains and oceans and, you know, air for everybody. For everybody to enjoy, it all reflects back to God and His holiness. But look, Moses asked specifically for the glory of God that isn't God's holiness. I mean, that isn't general revelation. God asked for a special glory. Because Moses saw the parting of the Red Sea. Okay, so we want to read this verse one more time and why it's localized. First of all, it says, the Lord descended in the cloud. Now, first of all, folks, God could speak, channel his voice, and talk to Moses. God could say it loud. He could say it soft. He could say it in from heaven. It'll still get to earth. But he doesn't do that. Why does God descend in the cloud? Why does God say, hey Moses, take off your sandal. You're standing on holy ground. Holy ground, folks, is local. It will always be local. That's holy ground. The Lord descended in the, and stood with him what? There, local. Why is God coming down? God wants us to have a picture that his special revelation is not from a distance. God wants you to know, right? That if you want to go to the mountains, okay, and see the general revelation of God, we're free to do so. And I love it. As a matter of fact, I more and more seek it. But in those moments, I also want to hear a special revelation, a word from God that is very special, that is very local to where I am. Right? So the Lord descended and he stood with him there, local, and proclaim the name of the Lord. Proclaiming the name of the Lord is the same as manifestation of his holiness. The proclamation of who he is must be done locally. Locally. So if you say, you know what? I searched God and I did not find him. Well, if you search for a special revelation of God, generally, you will never find him. You cannot figure God out. God has to reveal himself to you locally and specially. We're seeking the local presence of God specially and specifically. So here's God now singing over Moses, and he's there. That's why we can't just study and try to figure out God. That's why Job, the picture of Job was like, Job was trying to like figure God out. Until God came to Job, stood with him, and he proclaimed his name. And then Job was like, things too wonderful for me to know. It's like, he didn't even probably know. He just knows that it's too wonderful. Because he experienced the love and the faithfulness of God. And this is what God communicates to us when he is present with us in his present glory. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty. So what God is saying is, to Moses, I love you. I'm with you. And that steadfast love, I'm not going to ever leave you. You know how I called you to lead the millions? I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to be right by your side. I'm with you to the end. I know you're hurting. I know you're anxious. I know you're in pain. And I know people are grumbling and saying all kinds of negative things about you. They prefer the meat pots of Egypt. You know? It's not you, Moses. It's me. So Moses is in that local space and time. Moses is getting God. But here's what I want you to know. Moses, up until that time, didn't really have a sense of the love of God, the mercy and the grace. Moses is probably like, you know, God, you know, if I rebel, if I don't listen to what he says, he's going to kill me. And that's what we read. Moses almost died not listening to God. So Moses is like mostly fearful of God, not affectionate towards God. And that's, I'm asking you, are you affectionate for God? Or do you just mainly fear God? You're kind of like living this mediocre Christian life, and you're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Is that you? Or do you affectionately long to be with your lover, to be with your maker? And this is the turning point for Moses. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give a light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is that glory. He is the special revelation of God, of his holiness. If you want to know how big is the love of God, show them Jesus. How forgiving is God? Show them Jesus. How gracious is God? Show them Jesus. Jesus is the manifestation of the bigness of God, specially and locally. He is the glory of God. He is the light of God. Hebrews 1:2, he is the radiance of the glory of God. I'll tell you what he's not. He's not the radiance of God's omnipotence. He's not the radiance of God's omniscience. He came as a humble man, empty of his power in the incarnate Jesus. If you look at Exodus, the Lord descended in the cloud. Jesus descended from heaven, and the Lord stood with him there, and Jesus stands with us now, here. He is the exact imprint of God's nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Here's a person who by his very word created. It says all things were created through Jesus. And he descends from the throne to stand with us here. And I want you to know, that's local. Let's talk about the veil. The glory is breaking through the veil, the special revelation. Not the general revelation, but it's like, that's why for God to communicate special revelation to us, his love to us, it's a very intimate thing. That's why if you're dating and you become vulnerable, like you share, you know, you share your struggles and all this other stuff, you become intimate. God doesn't do that unless you're going to be his people. That's why you can't figure God out unless you also want to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you want the intimacy of God, it has to break through that veil. And you can only do that through Jesus Christ. Let's go to Matthew 27:51. It says, "Behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split." When Jesus Christ died, he tore the veil. He is saying, no longer will my local presence, the inner holy of holies, be contained within the physical temple. But Jesus now tore open that veil so that we can now have that direct communication of the special revelation, that special glory of God that all the prophets of old got. Moses, Isaiah, you name it. The Apostle Paul, that special revelation, not just one time, but continuously experiencing the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 3:15. "Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts," talking about the Israelites. "But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed." If we say, "God, show me your glory." But not, you know, while you're watching Netflix. There are degrees. There's a reason why Moses had to go to Mount Sinai. He had to climb to the top. Can you imagine that it requires a little effort to experience the glory of God? Sometimes you have to come forward. Do you know that in the New Testament, people laid on hands to impart the glory of God? I appreciated Jerry last week coming forward, because Jerry's trying to get after this. I can tell you this. I've forgotten many ways what it takes to get after being in the presence of God. If you're not getting after it, folks, you're not getting it. You have not because you seek not. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. What does that mean? People, where is the Spirit? Is it here? I can tell you, I felt like there was like a bit of a vacancy of the holy presence of God in our church. And here's me. I can tell you that in my 20s, I was getting after it. I threw out my TV. When the military sent me to a place and I was put in a hotel and there was a TV, I would cut the cord. I was getting after it. If I heard that there was a conference where the glory of God was powerful, I was there. I was getting after it. I wanted to sit up front because I knew, okay? Because that's where the glory is. I was getting after it. And somewhere along the line, I never went to a church where I felt that the glory of God is not heavy. Didn't want to be there. But you know what? I realized if you want to be a church that hosts the presence of God, you got to have leaders that are getting after it. And if you're not getting after it, and you're surprised that, well, I know the Bible, it's not the same. It's not the same. Sanctification. Make holy. To make bigger. You know what I'm saying? We're small people, aren't we? People say things to us. We get a little bent out of shape. And we don't really forgive. We say we forgive, but we don't. You know? Time to give to church. You know, it's like, you know, because we got other better things to do. Serving. We're so spent just to spend a couple hours on Friday night. We're just so spent. We don't have time for God. Because you know why? It's okay to say this. It's not a judgment. I'm talking to myself. We start small, don't we? But look at that believer's holiness, that circle. See that expanding? You know those lines that coming out down from that circle? That's like a magnifier. That's like a telescope. Okay? So, that inner circle is where we start. That's our cup. That's our bowl. We can only forgive a little. We can only give a little. We can only serve a little. But sanctification is ever expansion of that magnifier, of that container of the glory. It's getting bigger and bigger. That's what God, so if you say, I've matured, oh, then you're definitely more generous. You never complain. You're more and more thankful, right? You're more forgiving. You never gossip. You never do, you know why? And here's the thing. And you're happy for people. Because the more your cup is filled, right? You realize how blessed you are. And so you actually have, you don't envy. You wanna not envy? Come into the glory of God and receive the special revelation of the love of God. I'll tell you, that'll instantly get rid of all that envy. You try to fight envy by yourself, covetousness, you're not gonna get to it. You know, you feel small. You ever feel small because you can't even forgive a little slight? Come into the glory of God. Oh, you better humble yourself, and we'll talk about that next week. But look, our destiny as a people is not to be small. Our destiny is to be big like God is big. Be holy as he is holy. Leviticus 20 says, you shall be holy to me. You better be big. Are you stingy? You can't take a debt. You're unable to take debt. You know, you're giving more. You know you're giving more, but that's enough. You get so bitter. You're so turned off now. That's unholy. That's unholy. That means you gotta get bigger. But what happens when somebody makes us become big? The source of our blessing are people that make us bigger. You know how God made me bigger? Not through generous people, but through needy people. You know how God made me bigger? Not through kind people, through mean people. They make me boil over and say, God, I can't take this. You know what God said? Here's, I remember when I was in Seattle, right? I tell you this, when somebody wanted to take me out because I was just getting after it to come into the presence of God, going to these like charismatic conferences, okay? It was a Presbyterian church. You know, they wanted to keep me off the college ministry. And so one of the pastors was taking upon himself to tell on me to the elders and boot me off and not even teach Sunday school. And I was just so hurt. I was about to leave. And God was like, Henry, you're so small. I mean, you could leave. I know you feel betrayed, but I want you to understand something. Your bigness is what I'm after. So I want you to go back. And I remember that day. I said, God, I need your help. I'm about to leave this church, but I need your help. I need you to do something. And I went up and I was about to confront him. And I was like, God is like, you don't need to confront him. Let me show you something. I want to make you bigger. Bam. I didn't need to confront him. I said, thank you for the sermon. Thank you for the sermon. And I meant it. And I was happy for him. And the next week, I believe it was like a week or two later, I was like teaching on the praise and how to praise. It was on the worship of God. And the glory of God descended in the room with the college students. Everybody just got laid out. I couldn't even lift my head because the presence of God was so heavy. So heavy. I just started bawling. And here's the thing. We weren't even into the song. We're like one strum of the guitar and just the whoom. And by the way, he was the youth pastor, so he knew those college students. And God was like, watch this, Henry. He came up to me 2 weeks later and he said, Henry, can you come to my youth group? Do whatever you did in the college group, can you do it here? Because he knew that lives were being changed. Lives were being changed. And you know what? You have to be getting after it. If you're a father, if you're a mother, and you're not trying to get after it, you gotta receive the glory to shine the glory. Or else you're just going to give people just you. And people don't need that. Well, they need a little bit of that. Hebrews 10:14, for by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Jesus is the source, not our, we don't have to do this. Our confidence is in Jesus to always face God. Isn't that wonderful? God, I come in your name. I come in the name of Jesus. That's why I come. I don't come because I feel good about myself. There's never a time when I'm facing God do I ever feel good about myself. And that's something to get used to. When you pray, you're never going to feel good about yourself. You're always going to feel shameful because you were never good enough. Here's how you overcome. In the name of Jesus Christ, I come. In the name of Jesus Christ and by his finished work, by that special glory that's been given to me, I come. It's by his blood that I stand and I dare to face a holy God. People, this is the beauty of God. The veil was torn. We don't come before God, you know, inching our way with our goodness. Don't do that. Don't inch your way back to God by your goodness. Come in the name of Jesus Christ. And when you do, Exodus 29:43, God was leading the witness in Exodus 34. Here's what he says. There I will meet with the people of Israel, right? Mount Sinai. And it shall be sanctified by what? My glory. The glory of God makes us holy. So come on down. What are you afraid of? Don't let your pride get in the way. If you hear about the glory of God somewhere, go. Go. Why do you think we want to go on retreats? Because we want the glory. We are sanctified. You know what this saying? To make holy by his glory? You can't love beyond your own little cup. This is all you got. And if you have to give out of that cup, I promise you, you will be bitter and angry. If someone asks more of you than what your little cup can give, you will be bitter and angry, and you will badmouth them. You, whether it be your wife, even your child, God has to continue to fill that cup. Expand it. I will consecrate. That's another word for make holy. It's the same word. The tent of meeting and the altar. Aaron also and his sons, I will consecrate to serve me as priests. That's what we consecrate. We lay on of hands to say, hey, if you want to be an elder, you want to be a deacon, you got to be big. Because more is being asked of you. If you just keep to that small cup, you're not going to be a very good deacon or a very good elder. And we're also going to be voting on a couple more offices. But all that is a designation to say you got to serve in the strength and the power in the strength of God. That means you can't just serve out of your little cup. It's together with God, it's got to be bigger. What else does he say? He says, I will dwell among. Dwell among. That's local people. We're trying to think. Look, we want to be a church that hosts a presence of God. That's the vision for 2024. Host the presence of God. Host, right? Church plants. Other people. There's a difference between being the church where other people come, right, to bask in the glory of God. Because my sister moved to Orlando. You know why she moved to Orlando? So she could be in a church. She moved out of this area, people, so that she could take her family, right? So that her husband, and the children could be in the presence of God. And I'm here to tell you, folks, you should do no less. You should do no less because our children, our loved ones need to be in the presence of God. And if we can't be that church, we need to fold, we need to close and allow people to go to those places. I will dwell among the people of Israel. I will dwell among, right? And that's what revival is, people. And I will be their God, and they shall know that I am the Lord. You know what that means? The Lord, that's Yahweh. That is a compilation. Okay? That is a summarizing name. And when God said, the Lord, it was, is the Yahweh, Yahweh. And then he breaks it down, steadfast love, right? Hesed, that loyal covenant love, mercy, grace, righteousness. You need to know that God is, if you got a big problem, if you like, I'm so spent, I'm so weak, I'm so small, I'm so out of breath, I'm so this, I'm so not so generous, I'm so unforgiving. What you should be saying is that I serve a small God. You're saying I need God to give me his bigness because I serve a big God. They shall know that I am the Lord. They shall know that I am big. You know why people complain? Because you think you serve us, because you think your problems are bigger than God. That God somehow gave you a raw deal. Not knowing it's going to be through those people that's going to come your grace, that'll force you to be bigger. 1 Peter 1:15, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is in you shall be holy. You shall be big. You shall be worthy. So people, show up. Show up. Pay up. I'll give you the seven ups later. Those are two of the seven, right? Ellen knows what I'm talking about. Right? There's this. But show up. Be where the glory of God. Host it. That means we're going to be a praying church. We're going to be a praying church, folks. There's no other way to be a church that hosts the presence. If you want to get after it, we got to pray. That might mean, and you got to be a Bible, the word loving. You got to be reading books. You got to be reading the Bible. Right? You got to get after it. That means, God forbid, you might even have to get rid of your TV or severely limit yourself. But do you want to get after it in your family? Or do you just want to get by? Do you want to get by or do you want to get after it? I will tell you this. I'm going to get after it. I want to get after it. I'm going to ask all the leaders to get after it. I'm going to ask all the church to get after it. Right? We're going to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to fast, right? We want to get after it. We're going to praise God. We want to clamor, right? In our home groups, we want to pray. We want to minister. We want to lay on of hands. You want to get after it. Unless you don't want to get after it. You're content where you are. You're comfortable enough. You don't want to get after it. You don't think. And you want to set up your children because the glory of God is just not possible. So you just... You get secure enough, get a good enough this, and you go, folks, if there's anything, you know, during my time away, right, in the sabbatical, it's like, Henry, if there's one rebuke, you've lost your first love. You know what that means? You stop getting after it. And I was like, God, there's a time for repentance, folks. There's a time for repentance. It's this. You just stopped. Just gave up. You just stopped getting after his glory. That means, folks, Hebrews 12, strive for peace. It's relational. Holiness is not impersonal love, impersonal mercy, impersonal. It's relational. Strive for peace with everyone. If you said you forgave them, then go and try to communicate and start a relationship with them. Peace. Not the kind of peace like, okay, yeah, I forgive them, and then cold distance is not peace. And for the holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. If you're harboring something, if you're bitter about someone, if you're gossiping about someone, you will not see the Lord. That includes your own family members. 1 Thessalonians 5:20, then now may the God of peace himself sanctify you. Look, you know why Hebrews say make peace? It's because the way God, right? God gives us peace is not cold, distant peace. It's a very loving, merciful, gracious peace. That's what sanctifies us. It's relational. And it says completely. God is not asking you for to do the bare minimum. God wants you to be big. Don't be so small. In Korean, don't be so 조잔해. You know, just be big. And to be big, you need big. Look, folks, if you're gonna go big, you gotta come big. That means you gotta want the glory. If you don't have the glory, you try to be big, right? You're just a small person acting big. You gotta get after it. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Oh, he will sanctify you if you want it. If you want to get after it, oh, your life is going to change. He will do it. Two more verses. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. Paul's like recognizing, you know, we're just so unwilling sometimes. Our cup is so small. We're just so limited. So now, present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. You know what that means, folks? If you don't think big about getting after it, okay, is not praying, okay, when you eat. That's not getting after it, folks. If that's like the only time, you're not getting after it. That means you're doing radical things. Why? Because unfortunately, we live in a world, especially what Robert was praying, in a prosperous and comfortable country where getting after it just doesn't seem. It just seems so uncommon. And sometimes when we see, because nobody's doing it, you say, I'm like with everybody. You know, other Christians aren't. That's common. We're so shocked that it has to be uncommon. It's like, so it seems so radical. Well, presenting your members as slaves. We don't use that word too many times right now, right? But slaves to righteousness. I hope you're brimming with ambition. I want to get after this. I want to be a slave to righteousness. Ephesians 5:25. I say this, a special word to the husbands. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her that he might what? Sanctify her. The love of God being poured into us sanctifies us. It makes us big. Do you want to be a bigger person? Get after the glory of God. Move towards the front. Come, raise your hand, be prayed over, receive, go to conferences and retreats and go after it. Get on your knees, pray for the glory. Hallowed be your name. Make holy your name. That's literally saying, God, pour Not just to me, my family, my loved ones, our church. We talked about that. That she might be what? Holy without blemish. It's a reference. Look, our marriage is a model of our relationship with Christ. But folks, husbands, you can't be big on your own. And you are probably suffering very much where you're at in your marriage, because for no other reason than this, you need the glory of God. You need the glory of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to be a church that hosts your presence, where the glory of God, Lord, the special revelation of your love, your mercy, God, your forgiveness. Oh, Lord, but God, I'm on my knees, Lord. I'm on my knees. And I pray, God, that they will be strengthened with power to comprehend the breadth, the height, and the length, and the depth of your love. Would you just shine your glory into this place? Would you just shine, God, into our personal lives and sanctify us and make us holy? In Jesus' name. Amen.